When raising a Pacifico beer with friends you just met turns into hitting up their friend's local art show, getting inspired to create something together, and painting your first mural, you found what was waiting for you. Pacifico. Life's waiting. 21 plus only. Discover responsibly. Pacifico Clara Beer. Imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line Podcast Network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network.
This podcast is powered by the pros at Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric. Arkansas owned. Arkansas operated. GoPascal.com.
This is Hog Reaction.
Devo, 13 on the shot clock, still dribbling. Underneath, Mitchell, layup, good. The pass was deflected. Mekhi caught it anyway.
Hog Reaction is presented by KC Insurance Partners. KC Insurance Partners, local people helping local people. Go to kcinsuranceharrison.com for more information.
Hey, well, welcome you in to ESPN Arkansas on hitthatline.com. Hit That Line Now at Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram. As Arkansas falls in overtime to the Alabama Crimson Tide, 92-88. A couple of hard-fought games recently in Tuscaloosa. Unfortunately, they have not gone your way, and this was a typical game in Coleman Coliseum. Alongside Matt Jones, I'm Ty Richardson. And Matt, you've walked in. First thing you said in the studios today was heartbreaker, and that's really the best way to describe this game today.
Tom, man, it's good to be here with you doing the show. Yeah, man, it's tough. It's the Hogs fought, man. It is a heartbreaker. The Hogs did not trail until overtime. Had him a nice little lead. I thought Brazil, Ty, I thought he had one of his better games, if not his best game in conference play this year. He was active. Man, you just can't say enough about Ellis and Mark and Battle. Just those guys just battling. And the defense, man, our energy on that defense to get a 15-point lead, man, our defense was that first half, that was about as good as I've seen the defense play.
Yeah, and Eric Musselman was pleased with a good chunk of what he saw during that game. Not so much at the end where certain guys like Reitzel and you also had that freshman lefty. I'm going to have to pull up the box score real quick. Where's that kid's name? Walters, that had a big three late that LL has kind of left him in the corner. So, again, Arkansas outmatched, outgunned in the game today, and yet they battled and kept it close. If you want to jump in with us and give your thoughts via the McLarty Daniel Hotline, do so at 877-377-6963. Again, 877-377-6963. Craig gets at us on Facebook, says he's just so glad that there's only one game left. So Arkansas right now is set to play the Vanderbilt Commodores coming up on Wednesday. I'm forgetting if it's the 9:45 game or 7 o'clock game. Georgia was up on Auburn last time I checked. We'll give you some SEC basketball updates and scores coming up during the show. We're going to be going until about 4 o'clock, and then we will get into Arkansas baseball a little later on today. But, you felt like you got jobbed a little bit by the Mekhi Mitchell miss foul at the end. We're going to hear from Eric Musselman his thoughts on the officiating. He touched on it. I know I was frustrated when I saw Mekhi have a clear path dunk. There's no ball that I want to say it was Nick Pringle just slapped his wrist or slapped his arm, and Bama got away with a no call, ended up hitting a three in the other end, and Matt, then they took it overtime, and Caleb Battle just took a fadeaway three in that situation, which I hate. Step back three. I hated every second of that shot.
Yeah, I wrote down, well, when are we going to take the three and miss it? And that's going to be it. And that was it. That one ref, Ty, the bigger set ref with the old kid in play fade, not the light skinned, he was horrible. That was one. How is he an SEC official? He missed so many calls. I mean, it was bad how many calls he missed, and then what he would try to make up for. Whatever that was, whoever grades officiating, I don't know if you saw it or if anybody else noticed it, but golly, he was bad all game.
Yeah, there was a lot of gripes, a lot of grumbles, a lot of irritations from Arkansas fans directed at the officiating today, and some were valid, some I didn't agree. I was just like, all right, guys, they're not getting to the rim. I felt like at times in the second half, Arkansas really slowed down the tempo when they were clicking offensively and then took themselves out of rhythm. I get frustrated when I see that. I know that's a Musselman philosophy from time to time, but the last shot, Caleb has just been dominant getting to the rim these last four or five games. And for him to take a fall-away three at the end, very, very poor selection on his part. And again, Arkansas falls by four in this one. All right, we've got some more texts. Cody says, Matt, and this is a question directed at you on YouTube. Do you think it's a lack of leadership on the floor? He feels like that Arkansas's lost every close game this year.
No, I don't think that. I really think it's just a talent issue. And then Brazil was hurt. Our best player, I thought he played well tonight. I thought it was his best game. Whenever you have your best player is out, they were kind of struggling to find out what kind of offense they were going to be, who they were going to be. And you think about this last 6 weeks, I think that talks about their character, Ty. We talked about that first thing before we started the show. It had been easy to let go of the rope. They got blown out in some games early in the year. They galvanized, they came together and they fought, they scrapped, they clawed. That was a valiant effort they put forth tonight. They couldn't close it. I don't think that's a leadership. It's a talent issue. You look on both sides of the ball in the top six of the SEC. They just got a little more. They got a little more depth, a little more talent, a little more couple more pieces than we do.
I think you said it a while ago, talking about opposing coaches, and if they had their choice to pick out an Arkansas player or two and trade them for one of their starters, one of their key role players, there's just not a lot of trading and swapping that you do. Now, the last 3 years, there's a lot of trade. You would trade for the likes of Anthony Black. You trade for the likes of JD Notte. You trade for the likes of Moses Moody, but this team just doesn't have it, unfortunately. I know Caleb Battle has been really good these last five games. I know that Tremont Mark has at points been a terror scorer. Like, he's just been awesome in that. Like, he's been a terror scorer in the basketball, but they have not, unfortunately, had the wins to accompany guys that have gone off at that point. Because even in this stretch, Matt, as good as Caleb Battle is, and I know that they played some stiff competition, they have not won a good amount of games during this six-game stretch that he started to really find it in SEC play.
Well, Battle's been a joy to watch. The other one is Makai Mitchell. In all seriousness, I thought they could have went to him more. They did not have an answer. He was doing what – if you remember, too, it's been fun watching them all year, watching them all grow. Ty, that you remember the first game? It might have even been the Auburn game. Why he got the ball in the post? It might have been A&M. It was early in the season, and he went across the lane and like jumped 5 feet back and threw up this hook. And you're just like, what?
What are you doing?
Yeah, go strong, be tough. He hasn't looked better the last 6-8 weeks. He's been on fire. They didn't have an answer for him. His offensive game has been so sharp. He's been so fluid. He hits his free throws. I think out of all the players, he's the most improved player. And I know you can say Battle what he's done, but from where he's come from the beginning of the season to what he's doing now, in my opinion, the most improved player all season.
Yeah, he's 7 of 9, 18 points, and again, drew a lot of fouls, drew 3 fouls on the game. Did not foul out, ended up having 4 fouls, also 4 blocks to go along with that, Matt. So, yeah, he had another really productive game today. And a question Tony asked on Facebook, Grant Nelson, who it said on the ESPN broadcast, and I don't know if the stats on ESPN were incorrect or the stats in Coleman Coliseum, what the deal was, but it said that he fouled out, and then yet he continued to play. So I'm guessing, Tony, that question you pose is just one of those scenes where the ESPN stats were incorrect and the ones actually on the floor were. I don't have gotten necessary clarification of that just yet, but that is the best answer I can give you to this point.
We frustrated him a lot, and
they did.
It seemed like late Nelson kind of got his groove, kind of when he kind of had to. But for the most part, I thought we handled him pretty well.
Yeah, I thought he was. He ended up 6 for 11, had 13 total rebounds, which is a pretty big deal. But for the most part, until kind of late in that second half, he started to get going a little bit, hit a long two, and then also hit a three that were pivotal. Pivotal shots for this or against this Arkansas basketball team. All right, we got about an hour 45 left. Matt Jones, Ty Richardson with you. It's Hog Reaction presented by KC Insurance Partners. If you want to jump in here, do so. 877-377-6963. That is our McLarty Daniel hotline. More with Matt coming up.
Bet on.
When raising a Pacifico beer with friends you just met turns into hitting up their friend's local art show, getting inspired to create something together, and painting your first mural, you found what was waiting for you. Pacifico. Life's waiting. 21 plus only. Discover responsibly. Pacifico Clara Beer. Imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Line continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. With up-to-the-minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with in-game live betting, contests, and all the best player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or mobile device. Head to BetOnline today to become part of the team. And remember to use the promo code BELIEVE for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here.
Hog Reaction is presented by KC Insurance Partners. KC Insurance Partners, local people helping local people. Go to kcinsuranceharrison.com for more information.
We really appreciate Kevin and Ricky Cowan being a part of our regular season coverage all season long. This is the final KC Insurance Partners Hog Reaction regular season. Again, they have been a huge part of that. You can go to kcinsuranceharrison.com for more information on all your health and life insurance needs. I know plenty of you have thoughts after the game, and deservedly so. What did Eric Musselman say following his team's performance? Here's Muss with Chuck.
The turnovers, Chuck, 16 turnovers, and didn't shoot the ball. I mean, we were really 3 for 19 until T-Mark hit that three at the end. So effort, you know, was phenomenal. It's a hard place to play. They've only lost 2 home games. It's a, you know, a team that could play for a national championship and played great at Kentucky, played great tonight, didn't win the game, obviously. But the effort was there. Not a great shooting night for us, obviously, in the second half especially. And then defensively, you know, we did a poor job giving up threes without them bouncing it late in the game. Our three-point defense, you know, through 40 minutes was phenomenal.
So they go, Matt, 1 for 3 in overtime. I'm speaking to Alabama, 4 for 15 in the second half. You look at them for the game, only 9 of 30. And again, this is a three-point shooting team that gets 11 or so a game. It's the number one offense in the country. I know you look at the box score and it says 92, but I thought Arkansas, a good chunk of that game, had some defensive mentality, and they really looked good. It fell apart in crucial situations, especially when you're up 6 with like a minute to go or so.
Yeah, you know, that early tip, it seemed like Arkansas had got up and had their Wheaties, and they were ready. And it seemed like Alabama had kind of hit the snooze button. It seemed like it took them a little bit to get going. We were 8-10 in a little field goal stretch there in the first quarter. Playing good defense. That was the other thing that if you want to say Alabama missed some bunnies, and they kind of did. They missed some in the paint, but it's because we were putting pressure. We were defending. Mm-hmm. We were contesting. I thought that first half, I mean, just getting after it, just running up and down the court, being under control, having fun, playing tough. I mean, it was their best first half they had played all year.
And you think about Arkansas's road performances as of late. While technically next week is not road, it's neutral side, there's not going to be a lot of Arkansas fans there based on how this season has gone. So you're going to be going up against a lot of teams that have more fans than you. I don't know if Vandy's going to pack it out next week. That's who I'm expecting you to play. Then South Carolina. I think that Georgia has the tiebreaker on you. So I think that the setup, regardless of what happens in Auburn today, you will be playing Vanderbilt. That's the team. And actually, Bob was asking him directly about that after the game. So that's great.
You like that matchup?
Yeah, huh? I do. I mean, I know you just lost to him, and Vanderbilt's technically in Nashville. I mean, if you had a choice between Missouri and Vanderbilt, you'd probably still take Missouri given the choice. But I mean, it's the second worst team in your league.
We're more athletic than both those teams.
Yeah, and that's what you always come back to. And I think today you think about what Arkansas had to go up against in terms of athleticism, just those scat guards. I mean, a lot of times they get to the rim. Sears is probably going to win the most improved player in the SEC. He's just such a bully.
Under control, huh?
Yeah. You watch Jalen Brunson. He has a lot of Jalen Brunson in it, Matt.
Well, I noticed that he seemed in command. He never seemed out of control, never seemed to force it. I mean, as a point guard, running a team, he looked like the floor general out there. He looked the part. I haven't seen Alabama play a lot this year, but he looked okay.
Sears is a really quality basketball player. You take him on your team any point, and he showed Arkansas why he is one of the best point guards, not just in the SEC, but all college basketball. All right, let's talk to Brian, who's in Ozark. Brian, welcome into the program, man.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, I'm like that one guy that's in the text. Well, Arkansas's only got one game left. You know, if they beat Vanderbilt, they'd make it a second. But, you know, one thing I've noticed, you know, most of them had three great years the past 3 years, all right? And the SEC was down as a whole in basketball.
What do you mean? What do you mean they were down? They had eight tournament teams last year, Brian.
Well, I'm saying that you can look at how many teams they have in the NCAA tournament. They had like four. Three and four, the last 3 or 4 years. So as a whole, SEC basketball has not been as good as they were the previous 10 years. Well, I'm getting at
where are you getting that information, Brian? That could be not further from the truth.
Really, how many teams do they have in the SEC and NCAA tournament?
I just told you. Listen, eight.
Okay. I'm incorrect on that then. But overall, I mean, they go. Hold on.
Jeez Louise, man.
Then we have,
You had the
Sweet 16, Sweet 16 team?
Yeah, Arkansas Sweet 16. Listen, you had the number one team in the country, Alabama, last year, or for most of the year. I don't want to give credit to Alabama, but they were the number one team in the country for the most of the year. They had an incredible front court, the best front court in college basketball. The SEC has been better the last 4 or 5 years than it's been the previous 10. What he might try and cite is, well, they had won the national championship since 2012 with Kentucky. Listen, SEC's got to get over that hump and win the national championship. I completely understand that. And that might be Kentucky or Tennessee this year. Not that I'd be a huge fan of either of those two teams winning. And then Auburn was in the Final Four back in 2019. He just talks out of his ass. It drives me nuts. He comes in here acting like the SEC. The SEC's not down. It hasn't been down the last couple of years. I don't know where he's getting his information from. It's incorrect. It drives me insane. All right, let's hear more from Eric Musselman. So, again, defense plagued you at points during this basketball game. Here's what Muss said about that.
We had our center play goalie, which means he stands in the lane, so that distracted them a little bit, especially early in the game when we held them in the first half to 36%. And they got a little bit better in the second half because this is a great offensive team. And then in the overtime, defensively, they spread us out. We didn't close out well enough to three-point shooters, and in my opinion, difference in the game.
And again, Matt, like when you look 9 of 30, 30%, that's below Alabama's season average. But what we talk about sometimes during the course of a basketball or football game, it's like those late plays, right? It's those calls that you don't get from an official that you can't really affect the game in any other way because it's too late. And for Arkansas to give up some late threes, one in overtime, that was big. And then also, again, a couple others that just hurt you down the stretch. Over the overall stat of the game, it's not that bad, but it's the point of when you gave up those clutch threes that Bama hit.
Yeah, no, you're right. I thought Ellis, he played good, and he made a steal late. He made a steal in the first half. It was a balloon ball out there, and he went under there and got it. Of other players, man, he seems like he's kind of getting a little better. I think I like our matchup, Ty, against Vanderbilt. And then then we'll play Florida or Mississippi State, I think, if that's that kind of looks like it. And we can beat those teams. I mean, I'd rather play Mississippi State than Florida. But I like our chances against Vandy.
Yeah, I think that Arkansas can win on Wednesday night. And South Carolina, I think, is also a possibility, depending on I know that was being asked. Must didn't really have a lot of answers because they were, again, all the game plan, all that stuff was for Alabama today, and then they're going to move on to the Vanderbilt Commodores this Wednesday night. And once they get on the plane, once they start walking out of the interview that he did with Chuck earlier, that's where he's going to start getting going and everything. But is this team, and I made the statement yesterday, if they beat Bama, they'll win the SEC tournament. Well, they didn't, so I don't feel like they're going to do it. I know that might have been a stretch for me to say that. What I will say...
Man, that would have been a big win, Ty.
Yeah, I mean, that would have been huge to have just the confidence and momentum. And it's like... You feel better about this basketball team, Matt, but at the end of the day, they're still losing. Like you're not winning those close games, which Eric Musselman teams have been. It's kind of like the opposite of the football team, right? Football team under Pittman is known for losing those close games. Under Musselman, they're known for winning the close games, and this year's just kind of the outlier.
Yeah, and you know, Ty, we'll get Texas in the league next year, and we'll get to play them in basketball, so it'll be all right. I think the team, if just by the eye test and just, you know, been watching all these games, and I think we're playing better. I mean, they're playing with a smile on their face, battles getting off, Mitchell's having fun. I mean, for what I see, the team, I mean, Davenport, his last three or four games have been some of his sharpest games, making the right basketball play. Same with Ellis. I think the team's playing the best that they've played. And if you can get Brazil going and playing, he was able to play 30 minutes. I thought he was all right at times early. He was dominant, had some big rebounds, played big. You play Vandy, you get a dub there. Like you said, we don't know who we play next, but I like the Hogs. I think they're playing their best basketball. Like they're playing so much better right now than they were 9 games ago.
So here's the SEC for those wondering, because I know we're trying to figure out, hey, what's the SEC basketball slate looks like for Arkansas next week if they're able to beat Vanderbilt. They're locked in against Vanderbilt this upcoming Wednesday night at 6:00 on the SEC Network. Then they will play the 5 seed. On Thursday, probably gets going about 2:45 or 3 if I had to ballpark. It's 25 minutes after game 3. That's my best guess. You'll probably play, again, you don't have to play the late game, Matt, which is nice. And then you get to play the second game that day. Right now, if you go to the standings, so again, you'll play the 5 seed and whoever comes out of today. And that's the setup for what Arkansas is getting on that team. And
that could be South Carolina. Yeah,
it could be South Carolina. I'm pulling up the today's games real quick to see what they're doing. They got, like you said, they got Mississippi State later on. That game is at, I guess, what is this? It's either at 1:30 or 2:30 later on. So I think it's actually about to start right now between the Gamecocks and the Bulldogs in Starkville. So we'll see what plays out after that. But that is your setup for next week. We do know exactly when you play on Wednesday night. Again, it's 6 o'clock on the SEC Network. We'll have it for you right here on ESPN Arkansas and hitthatline.com. And then the next day, if you end up winning, probably start about 2:45 or 3, and we'll see who your opponent is following the games today. So we'll have it locked up later on tonight for the entire SEC tournament. I think the only things that really are locked up at this point is Vanderbilt and Arkansas, and then Tennessee is the overall one seed. Bama might have closed out the two seed today based on their win against the Razorbacks, but outside of that, still a lot of stuff that needs to happen between now and then before that happens in Nashville. Matt, and funny enough, I saw another quarterback, unfortunately, the late Ryan Mallett. That was actually my last encounter with Ryan, was at the SEC tournament. Have you ever been over to Nashville and watched any of these games?
No, I haven't. So I saw a Ryan Mallett jersey driving into work today.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Always love some Ryan Mallett. I played in them when we played. Well, I guess one year we did play in Nashville. My freshman year we played in Atlanta, and then my junior year we played in Nashville. But that would have been the last time. No, I've been to a Final Four the year Florida and Ohio State played in it. But no, I haven't been. Have you been to an SEC tournament game?
Yeah, they're a lot of fun. That Florida-Ohio State national championship, that was like Greg Oden, Mike Conley.
Yeah,
Torian Green. That was Joakim Noah, Al Horford. That must have been
Corey
a lot
Brewer,
of fun.
Yeah.
But that was a lot of fun back in the day.
The Conley, Mike Conley, he went on to have a really good NBA career, kind of a defensive score, pass first type of guard. But he's the type of point guard I like his game. You know, you put some scores around him, he could play defense. I liked his vision. Never quite really was the shooter, you know, but he was competent enough, but that could make him. But I like Conley's game.
And he still on the Timberwolves, if I remember.
He's still getting run. Oh my goodness!
So if I remember that right, I haven't watched a lot
for
of
him.
Timberwolves basketball, but I believe that is where he's at currently.
I remember him at Memphis there. They had a couple playoff battles, but I always liked watching him play. I thought he knew how to play the game the right way.
Yeah, he's a good player. All right, we're going to take a short break here on Hog Reaction. Again, if you want to jump in on the McCarty Daniel Hotline, do so 877-377-6963. More Hog Reaction presented by KC Insurance Partners.
KC Insurance Partners, local people helping local people. Go to kcinsuranceharrison.com for more information.
James asked us on Facebook the question I've asked myself over and over since the game concluded. Why didn't Caleb Battle drive to the basket at the end of regulation? Caleb's been the best in the SEC at getting to the free throw line. Not that he hasn't hit some three-point shots during this stretch, but I just think he was tired. If you want to be honest, James, I think he was settled. I can't remember if Estrada or Sears was guarding him or Reitzel. They did a good job initially to kind of keep him at bay. I would have liked them to attack quicker because you only got off one shot at the end. I hate waiting till the final seconds to go to that. Matt, what's your stance when you're tied? And I get it, with you're down one or if you're up one, they're different situations. When you're tied, what's your stance on a coach waiting till like 5 seconds or 6 seconds to actually get some action going?
When everything is situational, for the most part, when you're tied, you want to make sure you get a good shot. I mean, that's what it comes down to. You want an easy shot. You want a wide open. You want an uncontested shot, whether it be at the paint, whether it be passing it around, whatever you got to do. You want to get a good look first. Second, I think you want to try to shoot it with at least 5 seconds on the clock, you know, like around. You want to give it a chance where if you miss it, you can get it back. But I don't know that you want to you don't want to let them get the ball and get everything they want set up on the other end. So if you're shooting it under five, it at least gives you a chance to keep it on that side of the glass.
Yeah, and there was a lot more, to be honest, James, that they could have done prior to Caleb taking that final shot that won them the game. Again, Reitzel, who's the best three-point shooter maybe that Nate Oates has ever had in Tuscaloosa, gets off a pretty clean look after he pump fakes Makai Mitchell, just does a quick slide by and then knocks down a three on a late arriving L. Ellis, and that ended up tying it up to this point. But you're up six, Matt. I mean, they're up like six with a minute to go, man. You've got to close that
game. I thought
game
it was
out.
Over, man. I started turning the volume down. I was watching Arsenal and Brentford, and it was 1-1, and your boy Kai Havertz from Germany ended up getting a header in there to get them the lead. But I turned the volume down because I was like, Hogs win. You know, I was excited. That's, and I come in first thing, it's a heartbreak. I thought we had it wrapped up, but you got to give credit Alabama. They made some shots late when they had to.
And that is a team, like you said, you have to give credit to. Tennessee, I think Tennessee went in there and won. And I don't, there's one other opponent, and I'll look at Alabama's schedule real quick. There's one other opponent, Matt, that has gone in there and beaten the Crimson Tide, but it has not been easy whatsoever to beat Alabama in Coleman Coliseum. And you see, I mean, Grant Nelson is a guy that Arkansas fans have to just watch and wonder, saying, man, what if we was at our team? What if Arkansas was able to get him out of the transfer portal? And I know he's not the beefiest guy. There's been issues with the team this year at this point. But I thought, again, you mentioned it a little bit earlier. That was maybe Trevin Brazil's one of his best games of the season outside of Duke. He goes 6-for-12. I think Trevin was a little motivated. Didn't hit any of his three-point shots, which I know he would have loved to have back, but ended up 6-for-12 with two blocks and didn't have as many rebounds. He probably wanted six, but had some big-time finishes at points in that game.
Yeah, Tennessee, that's the only team that's beaten on Alabama's home court this year. Brazil, man, I'm telling you, he looked sharp. He was getting his shot. Yeah, he did have a couple open threes, but he, man, he looked fluid on offense, getting to where he wanted to get to and jumping up with confidence. And then he had a couple offensive boards, being big in there. I liked his game today. I liked Ellis too. I think Ellis has been playing better. Davenport had some big time moves. And then can't say enough about Makai Mitchell. You'd like to get a little more out of Devo. I know Devo's, he expends so much energy on the defensive end. You'd like to, in most days, if Devo's shooting three threes, I got money on him that he's going to make one of those. And so you'd think one of those could have fall for the same price.
And unfortunately, it didn't. He had that one air ball that really, it was late in the shot clock, but it's just like, man, Arkansas had to get something there down the stretch and just was not able to. Defensively, though, like you said, I thought he did a decent job.
Yeah, he was solid.
Sears is just it doesn't matter if you're a good defender or not, and it's not just for Devo, but anyway, he's just a tough cover. And the deal with Bama is they get so many paint touches. They don't have just this incredible big man like you got Nelson, who's more of a perimeter player than he is a post player, can get some offensive rebounds. He ended up finishing with 13, but they drive the paint and kick it, and it's just a lot of bodies that you have to worry about consistently and over again.
Who would you take? So when I was watching that game a little bit, Ty, I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, I'm looking at who are NBA guys, who are guys that are going to play at the next level, and we got one in Brazil, and they have one in Grant that are going to get shots, they're going to get chances up there. Whose game do you like? Because to me, they're very similar players. I mean, they're going to kind of play the same position at the next level.
Yeah, I really like Sears. I didn't think that Jalen Brunson would be a great NBA player, and he's turned himself into that. Him and Sears seem to have, the exact same game to me, so I would take him. I think Arkansas is, and at times, and LL's today ended up with a pretty good stat line. He was 5-for-11, which you take, had four rebounds. He's really rebounded the ball well on the defensive side of things, 13 total points. Had only, I think, one turnover in this game. You take that, but Arkansas has lacked at points the point guard position. So not just at the next level, but definitely would take Mark Sears on my team. He's just such a, you have to be moving all the time guarding him, which is just so, so exhausting for whether it's Devo Davis or anyone else. But I do wonder for this Arkansas basketball team, Matt, as now we enter SEC tournament play and postseason play, even though Arkansas, once they're eliminated, will not be in postseason. What that kind of gives a sense to the guys like L. Ellis. I mean, all your front court players, Chandler Lawson, Makai Mitchell, they're out of eligibility too. We did not see Jalen Graham today. We did not see Keon Minifield today. We did not see Layden Blocker today, who's Layden's little brother, just won the state championship this weekend. I wonder what that maybe plays in the role in the psyche. You had teammates. You remember your last game at home against Ole Miss and just kind of how that you maybe adjust or how much more effort you give in these final games.
Yeah, didn't Courtney Crutchfield, his team won the state championship. I don't know what, but he's a...
Oh, Pine Bluff won?
Yeah, that's an L. That's another guy. He's a two-sport guy. You look at, talk about a big-time loss for the football program. I think that'll come back and haunt him. Yeah, man, Ellis, man, I don't know. Ellis has figured it out a little bit. He just seems like he's playing with a little more confidence. And that's what I mean when earlier, Ty, we were talking about this team a month and a half ago. Oh, OMG, you know, like you were there was no way. I mean, we would be down. LSU had us down 15 at half. I mean, you look back to where this team's come now. Man, this team's okay. They can beat Vandy. They can make a little run. It starts by beating Vandy and playing sharp. And you might need guys like a Landon blocker to play if you're going to make a deep run because you worry about some of our depth a little bit.
And that's what I brought. And that's kind of the reason I brought that up because, Matt, they don't get any minutes today. Arkansas, I guess, only runs 8 deep, which is typical of Eric Musselman during the postseason, the end of conference play, 7 or 8 deep. But you still have guys that have shown capability at points this season that they can play D1 high-level college basketball. Now, you're still – we got to remind people, you're still 15 and 16 this season. So it is going to be just a really, really tough task heading into Nashville starting on Wednesday night, which, just a reminder for everyone, no team has ever started on Wednesday night and won 3 straight games. But I do like the vantage point that you're coming from in the sense that, hey – we might still play these 8 guys the first night, maybe even the second day, but starting Friday, like with that being the third game in 3 days.
Third game against the top 4 seed, yeah, Ty, that'd be tough.
Yeah, and that would the setup, and I had it pulled up. I'll pull it back up in just a sec. But
well, you could be playing Alabama again, you know, like you could be playing Tennessee. You're going to be playing Kentucky. You're going to be playing one of the top dogs.
And I think Matt, you tell me your thoughts on this.
Auburn.
I think that the Arkansas Razorbacks are going to have a benefit on Thursday if they win on Wednesday because of playing that gym once. Now Friday, I don't think so because you're playing that top 4 seed, like you said. But I always think that the team that has actually played a game in the gym the day or the 2 days before has the advantage from the team that's having to play there for the first time. It's a hockey arena. You played in not just college basketball gyms, but you played in some kind of unorthodox places before. Kind of the sidelines, sometimes you just don't shoot the ball well in these neutral side courts because you're not used to it for that matter.
Yeah, you know, shoot-arounds are important. You go out there and you do get your sight lines. This team, it's going to go on their defensive end. We play defense like we did this first half against Alabama, and we keep attacking, and like you said, it's tough, man. It's tough. It wears you out to keep attacking and playing downhill, but that's how this team plays. You look at Mark, 6 of 6 from the foul line, Battle, 11-11 from the foul. I mean, just getting it done. That they've been fun to watch. You would like to get a little better 3-point shooting, and some of them, you know, the first half open shots we were making them. We really were. We were shooting the ball well. When you can get uncontested open shots, that's all you can ask for. You just got to knock them down.
And Matt, they ended up going 27 in the second half, 33% overall. And I wonder for Eric Musselman. So he tried to add shooters and scorers in the portal this last season because he didn't feel like he had enough potency offensively at times. And we know how this season has played out, but they have not been good at shooting threes under Muss. Is that just something that we're just going to have to deal with? Are they ever going to figure out a way to play really good defense like they have? Not this year. They play a little better lately, but not this year typically. Last 3 years, yes. Are we just going to have to live with this team's never going to be a great scoring the basketball with the exception of that second year with Jalen and Moses and those guys? Is that just we got to send that into reality at this point, Matt?
Yeah, each team's going to be different. That's for sure. Next year's team's going to look totally different. I don't know. I don't know how a guy like Pinion played more on last year's team and then he can't get any run this year. You would have to think he's better as a sophomore than he was as a freshman. He's a pure shooter. I think Davenport's been a little better from the outside. I've liked watching him.
He had two long threes today.
This team, it's going to start on the defensive side, and they're going to have to be more consistent. They made the basketball plays in the first half, and in the second half, I really did. I thought they were going to hang on and just didn't have enough.
And you go 24 of 27 from the free throw line. Alabama goes 17 of 25, and they're like top 10 in college basketball in free throw makes. You're number two in free throw attempts. They're top 10 in free throw makes. So, Matt, when you did get to the line, you converted them. But that, like, Arkansas, that's why they're able to stay in these games, is not only to get nearly 30 free throws at some points, but they'll make a good chunk of them. It's just, again, like the stat I just referenced, when you go 9 of 27 on the road in the second half, that's not going to, more often than not, lead to a win. And this team, kind of like last year's team, just gets really stagnant offensively at times. And I think it's a combination of them being tired and worn down on the other defensive end, and they just don't have that elite NBA player that you're going to. Like Trevin Brazil's, I can't tell you every single one of his points today, Matt. He had a drive or two on Nelson when he was in foul trouble, but a lot of his points today were off rebounds and off tip-ins. And now, we'll take him any way we can get it, but this team, outside of Caleb Battle and market times, doesn't really have a guy that can go mano-a-mano and get a shot up any time, and that's not something you've said about this Arkansas basketball team when you look at the talent you've had the last 3 years.
Yeah, if you get him going in the flow, I thought Brazil picked his spots well. He didn't really force anything. I thought when he had a chance, he had some open shots. I mean, when you talk about uncontested open jumpers.
All his threes were open. Yeah, just missed him.
His height. Yeah, right. Like he'll knock those down. I thought if you're talking about guys going one-on-one, yeah, Battle and Mark are our best at doing that if you can isolate them. But if you can move off that isolation when he's isolated and move to open spots, you can create more space. And then Mitchell, I mean, he's a guy we can throw it down to. I think he's – I'd like to see us go to him more.
We can't say enough good things about Mekhi Mitchell, who finds himself with an 18-point performance even in a loss. I still love what he's doing and active in the paint. We're going to hear from Eric Musselman his thoughts on the Mekhi Mitchell no call coming up. Do you feel like Arkansas got screwed? Did you see that? And I know at one point you kind of had your focus on the Germany game. Did you see that play, the missed dunk, where Mekhi clearly got fouled and they didn't call it in that situation?
The next time go around, he dunked it again?
Yes. He slammed it. No, that was an overtime after that, basically.
The officials, I'm telling you, that one official – he was point shaven. I mean, that dude was the worst ref I'd seen. I mean, he was just missing call after call after call. It was really bad.
Yeah. I know Eric Musselman not exactly always pleased with the officiating, and definitely rightfully so after a few of those calls that went against the Arkansas Razorbacks today in Coleman Coliseum. All right, we're going to take a short break here on Hog Reaction. When we return, we're going to hear from Eric Musselman. We're going to hear from Trevin Brazil. But I want to hear from you. We got a lot of people watching our live video stream right now. A lot of people listening on hitthatline.com and our Hit That Line Now app, plus all of our stations across the great state of Arkansas. I know you have thoughts on this season. The season has concluded on the regular side of things. We got postseason beginning next week. Get in here. 877-377-6963. We'll react to you.
I feel like Kai got fouled. You know, that was a big point in the game. You know, when that was a no call, that killed it, I felt like.
Trevin, you could not be more right. That was a huge turning point for the Arkansas Razorbacks, and it went against you. Game goes to OT, and Arkansas falls 92-88. We got another hour of Hog Reaction. Matt Jones, Todd Richardson, with you here, and we're going to hear more from not just Trevin Brazil, but Eric Musselman too. And again, you've got to get past this game and pull out some more stuff for the SEC tournament, because it's going to turn around pretty quick on us starting next week. Let's welcome in Jack, who's in Greenwood. Jack, your thoughts on the game this afternoon?
Well, who cares about basketball? How come we can't hear baseball today?
Baseball's coming up, Jack. Right after this.
Game two?
Game two, buddy.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, man.
Let's go baseball.
Yeah, I don't even know what the – I'm going to be honest. I don't even know what the score is for the baseball
team. It's 64-59 South Carolina over Mississippi State in the hump. You know how tough Mississippi State is at home. These are two teams that are very similar on athletic ability – kind of how they like to play. South Carolina's won some more of the closer games, but these are South Carolina might have a small edge in athletic ability, kind of big when you get into tournament games. But very, it's a good matchup.
So that's what Arkansas is going to be set up based on the.
See, if I was choosing, I'd rather play Mississippi State.
100%
over than South Carolina. Mississippi State has that little guard, Hubbard. Is he their lefty they have? Ty, who did somebody earlier today talk bad about the SEC? Is so deep right now, man. There's so much talent. In that you look around. These teams, man, there's so much talent in the SEC.
Yeah, the SEC, I don't know if they'll get 8 this year based on how certain teams have played out to this point, but it is going to be difficult to navigate.
They're going to have 6. We're going to have 6 teams that are going to be on the 5 line or better.
Yeah, that's the setup at this point. All right, so next week, what's going to happen in Nashville? Here's Eric Musselman on how his team has to navigate that terrain.
Yeah, we're playing our best basketball. I mean, we knew that the ending of our schedule, ending the season on senior night in Alabama, was not an easy game, and certainly when you play at Kentucky. So hard stretch down the end, and now we got to get ready to play, you know, that first game in the SEC tournament.
That is what you have for next week is, like you just said, some quality SEC opponents. Not necessarily Wednesday night at 6 o'clock against Vanderbilt, but moving on forward to bat, you've got to deal with Hubbard for Mississippi State. Like you're saying, if you play them at some point, Michi Johnson's the outstanding guard, Mac, and those other guys. I'm forgetting the young freshman that has been just obliterating the SEC lately. There is a lot of quality basketball in this league. You look at Matt, just think about when you were playing to what it is now. And I know Kentucky had guys like Tayshaun Prince, so I don't want to lump them in per se, but the SEC from 20 years ago to when you were playing now, not necessarily in football, but basketball, man, it's night and day, man.
Yeah, you look at the collection of coaches. I mean, that should tell you a little bit. The stat I heard that I go back to, there was 91 guys, I believe, that are in the NBA that have SEC ties, you know, play wow. SEC ball. It's the most out of any Power 5 conference. Now, what's a Power 5 conference these days? I don't really know what those are anymore. But, you know, you look at the ACC, the Big 12, the Big 10, SEC, Pac-12, so to speak. The SEC has more NBA players. So that tells you right there that they got a lot of talent.
Let's go over some of the other games. Like you mentioned, you alluded to the Mississippi State game, which South Carolina is currently up 66-59, 8:45 to go. A&M is blowing out Ole Miss. You talk about a team that's fallen by the wayside. That is
bad form right now.
Yeah, 86-56. Buzz Williams' team trying to pull some momentum for the SEC tournament. The game of the day, Tennessee hosting Kentucky, 3:15, so in about 10 or 15 minutes from now, we'll see first tip. Dalton Connect, the player of the year, Reed Shepard, Dillingham, and Wagner, the unbelievable trio of freshmen that Kentucky has and at its disposal and that Tennessee's going to have to deal with today. Let me ask you this, Matt. Given, let's say I gave you $1,000 of Tommy's money. Say, Matt, you got $1,000 to bet on the team that makes the Final Four. Who are you picking between Tennessee and Kentucky?
Man, you know, Kentucky has some athletes. You know, you're going to want to look at the bracket. You're going to want to look at how it unfolds. Tennessee has the best team in the SEC. I think if they beat Kentucky tonight, and, you know, I know you get a double bye, but if they win the SEC tournament, how are they not a number one seed? I know that they're a little bit of talk about them or Arizona, kind of Houston, Purdue, and UConn have the other three number one seeds locked up, and so it's kind of come down between Tennessee and Arizona. Tennessee's definitely earned it. Their last 4 regular season games were against top 25 competition. They're right now, they're in good form. You just talked about Ole Miss, A&M going into Oxford and just wearing them out. That's a team that's not in good form. I mean, they were top 25 one time in this season, and they've really, really kind of fallen off. But Tennessee's in the best form, man. They're playing really good ball right now, and it helps when you have SEC Player of the Year.
Dalton connects. He's a fun player to watch. The other game's on today, Matt. Florida against Vanderbilt. That game's in Nashville. Georgia against Auburn later on today. And then Missouri against LSU. That is the current setup for what Arkansas has. the SEC has the rest of the day today. All right, free throw wise, again, we mentioned Arkansas having some success there. Here's Musk, just not on the free throws, but what Alabama was able to do late better than Arkansas.
You know, making free throws, getting the free throw line is a big part of our identity. Did a good job scoring 42 points in the paint tonight and controlled the tempo for most of the game. And you know, till the end, our bench did a good job outscoring their bench by 12. And it was an excellent ball game by two teams tonight. They played a better 5 minutes than we did after the first 40.
Arkansas led for what, every single minute till overtime? I guess I can pull.
They didn't trail. The game might have been tied a little bit, right? But they didn't trail until overtime.
Yeah, that's, think about that. That you went into Coleman Coliseum, who Matt looked it up earlier. Tennessee is the only team to walk into Alabama's Coliseum earlier this season and win, and you led for the 40, 41 minutes of that basketball game. And you still somehow lost. I know, Eric.
38 minutes. Ty, 38 minutes with the lead.
Wow. 38 minutes. 38 minutes, and you can't clear it. And that's, again, that's the difference between this team and the last 3 years of Eric Musselman teams, is they have found a way to win late. This team is not, unfortunately. And that is so aggravating, so frustrating for him. And it's just what you have to deal with. As we have reacted to an On Hog reaction presented by KC Insurance Partners. Again, if you want to jump in here, feel free to do so on the McCarty Daniel Hotline, 877-377-6963. We've got baseball. Got an announcement from the Arkansas baseball team. First pitch for game number 2 is at 3:30 today. So we're going to go right up till 3:30 of Hog Reaction, and then we will go right in to Arkansas baseball, who, by the way, got a 3-1 victory over McNeese State in game number 1. Matt, were you friends with, I know you had basketball friends and football friends. Were you friends with any baseball guys on campus?
Well, yeah, Clint Brannon would have been a guy that we hung out maybe a little bit, went and golfed. You know, you have different schedules and stuff, but we were in the same dorm room there, and that was kind of the cool part, of college. So you go watch him play. I think Jay Sawatsky was part of that group.
Sawatsky.
I can't really, you run across, you always pull for him, you know. College was a fun time.
All right, let's talk to Nelson, who's in Harrison on the McCarty Daniel Hotline. Nelson, welcome in to Hog Reaction.
Hey guys, rough ending right there to the game, but you guys are doing a good job bringing the content, you know. What can you do, man? Kids play their hearts out. Refs took it away from them at the end. I mean, there is no other way to say it. If your arm comes down and then you hit a guy in the head with your arm, that's a foul. Any planet, any kind of ball you want to put on the court, I mean, yeah, if he was straight up, okay. But when your arm comes forward and down and you hit a guy above the neck, above the head and shoulder area, that's a foul. And most of the time, it's a flagrant foul. So, but, guys, I just want to say how you guys are doing a great job. These kids are fighting. It would have been very easy to just say, you know, pack it up. Pull a Jimmy Smith. Pack it up and leave after practice, during spring practice. Come on, Jimmy Smith. Get with the program, dude. I mean, that is so chicken little. Spring practice in the morning, leaving the TCU in the afternoon. That's bull. We got to change this culture at Arkansas. Get people that want to be there.
Yeah.
Get Matt Joneses. You know, get people like that that want to be there. Guys, I love the show. Matt, you and Phil need to come back and reverse this curse, bud. Come back and hang out at KC Insurance Partners again.
I'm telling you.
Well, appreciate the call, Nelson. Yeah, again, there were some missed calls in that game. I'm not going to push back on that call whatsoever. All right, we're going to take a short break again. 3:30, we'll flip it over to Arkansas baseball. It's Hog Reaction presented by KC Insurance Partners.
Alice is open in the corner. Three-pointer good.
Hog Reaction is presented by KC Insurance Partners. KC Insurance Partners. Local people helping local people. Go to kcinsuranceharrison.com for more information.
Instead, they're going to double-team somebody. Estrada will throw it in on the baseline. He can't find anybody yet. Drops it into Sears. Ellis chases him ahead to Walters. 2 seconds. He dunks it. Arkansas didn't foul. They didn't get back. And Alabama's up 4. Hogs throw it into Battle. Battle lets one fly. No good at the horn. And in overtime, Alabama's won the game.
And that's how it ended in Coleman Coliseum earlier today as the Arkansas Ridgebacks again fall 92-88 in overtime. Hard-fought battle. Some guys stepped up. It was just not enough today for this Arkansas basketball team. Now, we've gotten some questions about what Eric Musselman had to say about officiating. Here was what he said in regards to the no call against Makai Mitchell.
It's not worth commenting. It's not worth sending things in. So I'm just, you know, Alabama beat us, no excuses, but there was contact with Kai. I mean, what are they going to tell us that, you know, that after reviewing, we'll get some, you know, we'll find out tomorrow that it was missed, but it just doesn't change the outcome of the game. So,
Matt, like, that is going to happen. They'll figure out, hey, the SEC officials made a mistake. They should have called a foul here. But, like, if you're a coach, why are you even putting the effort to go? And it's not going to be the head coach directly, but what's the point of putting in effort if it doesn't matter? There's going to be no reflection. Like, I saw a team the other day, they got a championship taken away from them because the refs weighed off a game-winning shot, and then they didn't – it's like they didn't get their championship back. The Arkansas is not going to get the win back, so why even put in that effort at this point?
Well, out of the three refs, the ref that looked like the light-skinned brother on Kid and Play, he was the worst ref I've seen all season long. And like I said, Ty, I've watched every single – Razorback game in conference play, and that ref was pitiful. I mean, he was missing calls, calling the wrong thing, making up calls. It was it was hard to watch. And so, like what Coach Musk says, is what are you gonna? I mean, when it's that bad, what can you say when it's that bad?
It was bad. It was bad. No question about it. I know. Again, a lot of Arkansas fans very disappointed in that no call. I had a friend text us on the McCarty Daniel hotline saying that he felt like that the Arkansas Razorbacks got the jaw. What's the phrase? Like the jaws of defeat, the winning loss, something of that nature. It was just, again, you felt like it was taken away from you, unfortunately. Now you got to respond. And again, Nashville at Bridgestone Arena, starting with the Vanderbilt Commodores next week as the Arkansas Razorbacks will get ready to play them. And then we'll see about South Carolina or one of the other teams they'll play, maybe around 2:45 on Thursday. They beat the Commodores. And then after that, to this point in time. Matt, what's the NCAA tournament appetite for you? Does it go down pretty drastically with Arkansas probably not going to be involved? Or are you still excited for March Madness?
Best time, some of the best time of the year going on, man. I remember going out to Vegas one weekend for opening round, and they set you get to see all the TVs, all the games going that opening weekend when they have 4 days in a row, and it was a lot of fun. I mean, I love March Madness. It's there's so much good talent. When the one and done was going on, I thought the college game dropped off a little bit. I think it's catching back up. I mean, I think the college basketball game is in a good spot right now. There's a lot of talent out there, a lot of good teams, a lot of the March Madness, man. It's infectious. I love it.
It's back. All right, we got one more segment to get to here on Hog Reaction. Arkansas baseball game number 2 getting going at 3:30. So we'll lead you right into it. It's Hog Reaction presented by KC Insurance Partners.
KC Insurance Partners, local people helping local people. Go to kcinsuranceharrison.com for more information.
For one final time, we return here on Hog Reaction. ESPN Arkansas, hitthatline.com. And as you heard, it's presented by our friends at KC Insurance Partners. Kevin and Ricky Cowan have been with us all season long. And we really appreciate them being a part of this, being a part of Arkansas Game Day in the fall. And we'll see what happens in postseason baseball as well. Because while the Arkansas basketball team, unless something crazy happens in Nashville next week, it's not going to the postseason. This baseball team sure looks prime for a salty postseason run. So, Matt, as we come back for the final time, not just on the show today, but at least the regular season, we will have shows next week, by the way. Be listening on the Morning Rush Halftime, and Ruskin and Zach will update you for our post-game coverage next week. But, Matt, just kind of your overall reflections on how this regular season panned out. Arkansas finishes 15-16 overall.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that you could say is they kept fighting. This team got better. The last 6-7 games have been the best they've played. They struggled a little bit early with some consistency and kind of figuring each other out. I think it's tough sometimes in the portal window. A collection of guys come in and you're trying to figure each other out. What do they do well? What do we got to work on? You know, the team continued to grow, and I thought the team got better.
Well, hopefully we'll see some better production next week in Nashville, get a win on Wednesday night, and then we'll see what happens. Arkansas baseball coming up at 3:30. That's going to do it for us here on this regular season edition, the final one of Hog Reactions. For our friend Matt Jones, I'm Ty Richardson. Razorback baseball, Phil Elson. Coming up next. Have a great day, everybody.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent.
When raising a Pacifico beer with friends you just met turns into hitting up their friend's local art show, getting inspired to create something together, and painting your first mural, you found what was waiting for you. Pacifico. Life's waiting. 21 plus only. Discover responsibly. Pacifico Clara Beer. Imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list: teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then, learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.